Welcome to the Bethany Hour. This is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Luke.
California driving, had to get out. Distance got me wondering where you are right now. One-way conversations got me worn down. Pouring out my heart, wish you would speak a sound. I don't know what I'm after. I can't get you out of my head, and I don't wanna ever forget. You give me what the world can never give. I can't live without you.
Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services. Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed, once again, looking in the book of Luke. Those of you who are traveling with us through this book, on this road, we're in chapter 20.
What a beautiful day it's been. You know, we get to dig into the Word of God, and such an awesome thing to be able to let the Word just kind of soak into us.
especially on a day when it's as beautiful as it is today. I hope it's this day when you hear the radio program, but it's a gorgeous day today. And it says, here Jesus says, one day as he was teaching the people in the temple courts and preaching the gospel, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, together with the elders, came up to him. Now, I think this is probably typical. Whenever Jesus got near Jerusalem, he always would go to the temple, obviously.
Yeah.
That's the place where a lot of people taught, and he taught as a rabbi in the courts. And if you go to the Wailing Wall, one of the things you'll notice is that there's Rabbi so-and-so has his name. Every rabbi has their name somewhere, like an advertisement, come and study under Rabbi such-and-such, such-and-such. And then if you go right up to the wall, and you go under the, it's a like a pomerod or something. It's a covering, and you go under, you go underneath, and there's six or eight rabbis teaching in there, and they try to grab you and ask if you'd like to learn something.
Yeah,
and of course you pay them a little.
How much? Yeah,
I don't know how much it is, but you'd have to haggle for it. So Jesus is teaching the people, which is pretty normal, and he's preaching the gospel, which is normal. Now the chief teachers, the elders, they come up to him and they tell us, by what authority are you doing these things? They said, who gave you this authority? Because now when you're close to, these were just today, close to the temple, there's no temple there, but close to the Wailing Wall, there are all kinds of rabbis were there.
Yeah.
They're advertising this out. So here the teachers are wondering, who gave you
this authority?
Yeah,
because we're the authorities.
That's it. Who gave it to you?
You know, here Jesus is teaching. There's crowds listening to him. And you got the chief priests. You got the teachers of the law. You got the elders. You got the whole gang coming. I mean, it's you
They're
know,
one
guy. Well, he's got 12 apostles with him. So, you know, I think a West Side Story. It's, you know, this gang versus that gang. And it's almost like, all right, we're meeting in the temple courts, and there's going to be a confrontation, and they're nervous because Jesus is drawing so many people to his teaching, and they want to know, what authority, by what right do you have to say the things you are saying?
True.
They don't know.
Yeah. It would be probably like, let's say your pastor's been teaching at your church for 35, 40 years, and all of a sudden he's gone. Somebody else comes in, and he comes in, and he comes up to the pulpit, and he starts teaching. And when he comes in, he brings a whole bunch of other guys who's kind of his disciples with him. You know?
Right.
And everybody, of course, the elders would say, hey, who gave you this kind of authority?
Right.
And so he does something. He replies. He said, I'll tell you who did that if you tell me if John's baptism was from heaven or was it from men? In other words, see all these guys out here? Now, you tell me. I baptized them. Was that baptism was that really from heaven, or was that just something I did? So, you know, he puts them on a real quest here for some understanding, and I don't think they're grasping it all because they didn't like John either, but the people did.
Yeah. It's amazing to me. I probably would have just answered the question.
Yeah, he didn't answer
it. He didn't answer the question.
No,
he never
another
answered
question.
He, you know what? And
he's a psychologist.
He is, and he gives it right back to him. He says, because he wanted the people to hear their response. He wanted them to realize that these are your religious leaders. These are the ones in power and in authority, quote unquote, that have the authority, but they don't know. They don't know by what authority I'm doing this. How could they miss that? How could they miss knowing the authority?
Plus, a lot of the people who were listening, all the people around in the temple, had already been baptized with John's baptism.
Exactly.
They had followed John. They were following John.
And now they're following Jesus.
Now they're following Jesus because he's teaching, you know, and they're following Jesus. And all of a sudden, I can tell you exactly who my authority comes from if you tell me, was John from heaven or was he from men? Now, that's a pretty good question because, you know, John really, he didn't hang out with the Pharisees.
No.
He didn't wear the clothes of the Pharisees.
No.
He was different.
He called them a brood of vipers.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
So now what they decide to do is they discuss it among themselves. Now, that's just something that what happens. We had to have a little committee meeting. It's a committee meeting. Make sure we say the right thing. Make sure we discuss it correctly. So they say, now, if we say we're from heaven, that's where John got his authority. Well, he'll ask, why didn't you believe him?
Right.
But now, wait a minute. If we say he's from men, the people will stone us because they are persuaded that John was a prophet.
Right.
So the committee meeting got nowhere. They actually came up with nothing. And that's like most committee meetings. Sometimes they come up with nothing.
You know, and it's interesting because I wonder what they really believed. I wonder if they really believed it was from heaven. or if it was for men. We don't really get the answer from them by this committee meeting.
No.
Maybe they were divided. Maybe they didn't. But it's so interesting to me that Jesus just gets them to the point of thinking and talking and trying to come up with the answer. And, you know, here Luke writes it for us that, even through the committee, they still won't give Jesus the credit or the authority from the Father. They just won't do it.
Well, the amazing thing to me is they ask Jesus to answer the question, but they won't answer the question themselves. That's what's really amazing to me.
Yeah.
They're asking about authority, and Jesus asked them about authority. Yeah. Same thing, but... So Jesus is pretty smart. If you're not going to answer me, I'm not going to answer you. Yeah. So the answer, we don't know where it was from. Then Jesus said, neither will I tell you by what authority. That is classic.
It's amazing. It's it's obvious. The people who weren't the religious scholars and the leaders and the teachers of the law and understood that they knew that Jesus was from God because they, in other accounts. Yeah, they saw what he did. How could a man who was born blind be healed by someone who was not from God? And so the people understood it, but here the religious leaders didn't know where it came from.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me.
And John calls out, he calls them, come out to the wilderness, calls them, come out and be baptized. They all follow him, come out and be baptized. They turn from their sins. And so now they're wondering, okay, he has this authority, obviously, because people are getting saved, people are being healed, wonderful things are happening even through John's ministry. This is for sure from God. It's got to be. But if we say it is, then... Jesus is going to wonder, well, how come you never follow him?
Right.
In that way, if I'm from God, are you going to follow me? Right. Obviously not, because if John's from God, you're not following him. So what good is it going to answer you?
I think in other passages, they were trying to trap Jesus. They were asking him questions to try to trap him, to get him to blaspheme or whatever. And so if he said that it was from God, I'm sure they had a whole nother bunch of questions. There were a bunch of lawyers. And so I'm sure they had question after question after question. They weren't able to respond to this one. They hadn't thought of this one because they're like, uh-oh, he caught us off guard. So but they were trying to capture it. And Jesus knew that. Jesus knew where their hearts were. And, today I still see it out there. When we try to talk to people about Jesus and the authority of God, there's this rejection and they just don't want to hear about it.
But it still amazes me that Jesus is able to say to them, basically, do what you will.
Yeah.
I'm not going to answer that question.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to tell you because you wouldn't listen to John. You're not going to listen to me, so I'm not going to answer it.
And
it's amazing that these are the religious leaders, and here he defies them, basically.
Yeah.
That's why they're so angry. Angry as can be.
Yeah.
And he went on to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard, rented it to some farmers. It's so good. He's got them down. So now he's going to punch them into the ground. They're already out for the knockout, and he's going to knock them down. A man planted a vineyard, rented it to some farmers, and went away for a long time. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants so they would give him some of the fruit of his vineyard. But the tenants beat him, sent him away empty-handed. He sent another servant, but that one they also beat and treated shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. Now, he's talking about all the prophets that came before.
Right.
Jesus, and even John the Baptist. And he sent still a third, and they wounded him and threw him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, what shall I do? I'll send my son, talking about himself, Jesus, whom I love. Perhaps they will respect him. But when the tenants saw him, they talked the matter over, just like these guys just got done talking the matter over. This is an heir, they said. Let us kill him and inherit his inheritance will be ours. So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others.
Ouch.
I mean, here is a key phrase that's basically saying, you guys are dead meat.
Yeah.
You're going to get killed because of what you're doing to me. You're going to be destroyed in judgment, and judgment's going to fall upon you. Wow.
It's incredible. When you think about the history of Israel and you read the Old Testament and how through Israel, the Messiah came, and Jesus is the Messiah. He's the chosen one. But Israel and the religious leaders of that time rejected him. Here's the Old Testament and Jesus on the scene, right in this parable, and they beat the prophets, the Old Testament prophets.
They did.
You know, they killed some. And, yep. And then when Jesus came, the Son of God came, in a very few days, they're going to do the same to him. They're going to throw him out of the vineyard and kill him.
They're planning on killing him.
That was their heart. And
Jesus recognized that.
And he tells the people this parable.
Wow.
And it was
it stuck between your right? It's like an arrow in their heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the people heard this, they said, may this never be. You know, almost as like they could change things.
Yeah.
May it never be. And Jesus looked directly at them, and he asked, then what is the meaning of that which is written? He goes back to the scriptures again.
Yeah.
And he says, why does it say in the scriptures, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone?
Yeah.
And everyone who falls on that stone will be broken in pieces, and he whom it falls on will be crushed. I mean, he is just... he's telling them who he is and telling them what's going to happen to them because they're going to reject him. And he's giving it to them with both barrels. And it just amazes me that he can do that.
It is.
Most of us look for a way of escape.
We do.
We try to appease him, try to say something easygoing, not too harsh, but this is just direct as you're going to get. No misunderstanding here.
Here's the deal. Jesus knew why he came and Jesus knew at whose hands that he would be betrayed by his own countrymen, his own fellow Israelites, and it was painful to him. And I know, I'm sure when he said this, that it was painful to him to say these things, because he is the stone the builders rejected.
Yep.
He's the one. He's the one they've been waiting for, the one they've been looking for, and they reject him. And he has become the cornerstone, the capstone, that one place that Israel, Jew and non-Jew or Gentile, will come to. He's the focal point for all humanity. And at this very moment, his own countrymen are rejecting him, and his heart is broken, and God's heart is broken. But he is fulfilling that prophetic word from the book of Isaiah, I believe.
Yeah, and he gives them an opportunity. He says, if you fall on that stone, and if you will be broken, if you will repent, you'll be healed. You know, things will go okay for you. But if not, then you're going to be crushed.
If I fall on you, you're going to be crushed.
Yeah. The teachers of the law and the chief priests look for a way to arrest him. So they were obviously looking for something within his words that he would say. It's almost, and I hate to use the illustration, but we have a media right now that is in a frenzy to topple our president.
Yeah.
I believe they're looking for any word that he would say, and they'll just twist it, turn it, and just use it. They're not that concerned about America. They're concerned about getting him out of office.
Right.
And that's what seems to be the major thing that's pushing them. And I would imagine that these Pharisees would feel the exact same way. They don't want this man to have any authority anymore.
Yeah,
because they asked him, what authority do you have?
Let's
crush this authority.
Here's this incredible influence that Jesus is having on the people. The crowds, crowds just following Jesus. And when Jesus spoke, people just sat there in silence, just listening to every word that came off his mouth. And they were listening to every word to try to trap him and try to twist it, like you said, and just use it as a way to take him down, but they could never do it.
So they wanted to arrest him, and they'd like to do it immediately because they knew he had spoken this parable against them. he told them this wonderful parable about these vineyards, and people own the vineyards, and the owner of the vineyards, and keep sending prophets, and prophets are workers, but prophets, and they killed him, and then they killed the owner's son. So they knew exactly who Jesus was talking about, and they were afraid of the people. It says, the Bible says that they wanted to grab him, they wanted to arrest him, they would love to have brought him in, but they were afraid of the people.
See, they knew that this parable was pointed at them.
They did.
But did they know, or did they not know, that the authority he had was from God? I think they had to know.
But even if they did know, they didn't want to believe it.
They didn't want to believe it. You know, I think on some level, they were just looking at him and they're just like questioning everything that we have been saying and doing for years and all the interpretations of the law and all the things that we have written. You're totally dashing them on the ground. If you were from God, you would uphold what we say. You would uphold what we do. But they had strayed so far from the truth. They had gone so far in the other direction that they were too aggressive to hold on to their religion as opposed to have a right relationship with God.
And I think we probably recognize that the Pharisees, the high priests, and everyone, they were not of the tribe of Aaron anymore.
Yeah.
They were Herodians. They were actually puppets of the Roman government. They were not really official what we would say is official priests. They were not. They were from the tribe of Aaron.
Yeah.
They weren't. So they were holding on to their power. They certainly they didn't
That's
want
what it was.
They certainly did not want him to come and take over.
Yep.
And so some of that was a power struggle, which we face that in politics today. It's really about power. It's not about the government and who's in control. It's about having power.
Having the power.
So it's a terrible thing here. But still, there were enough people that would back Jesus that they were afraid of him.
Yeah.
So there's a parable here that really is relevant to all of us, because we all at times have crucified Christ in one way or another. We've wounded him for sure because of some of the things that we've done that we know we shouldn't have done. And God, he is the orchestrator of our lives, and he is trying to help us to build the vineyard that is profitable for the kingdom. And sometimes we try to build our own kingdom, and that doesn't work very well.
It doesn't work very well when we try to do our own thing.
No, when we try to build our own kingdom, it becomes a real problem.
Yeah.
So the question of this is one of authority that came from the very beginning. They asked Jesus, what authority is he really working on? Because they trying to undermine his authority. Don't you think that's what he's really after?
Oh, yeah.
So they're trying to undermine his authority from the very beginning. And when they try to trip him up, he doesn't fall for it, and he doesn't answer their question. And then he takes it one step further. I'm not going to answer this question, but let me tell you a little something.
I have a story.
The story that he tells undermines everything that they stand upon.
Yeah.
They're trying to undermine him, and he dilapidates the entire structure that they're upon just simply by telling this story about how they killed the prophets, how they killed more and more prophets, how they killed them. Then they're going to kill the son, and then they're going to try to steal everything. And so it's just amazing how Jesus takes a question of authority and flips it on its head and says, hey, you guys, you've never been in the right position.
And then he answers the question. He really does answer their first question by saying that the stone the builders rejected
there
has become the capstone. He really does say, I'm the Messiah.
Yeah.
I am the one. So you want to know by whose authority? Here it is. I'm the son of the one who owns, you know, the land.
The vineyard, yeah.
The land. Here's the land, Israel. I'm the son of the guy who gave you this land, and I'm the one that you're rejecting. And if you know this passage of Scripture, it's pointing to me.
Yeah. So be afraid if you don't love Jesus. This is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. God bless you.